Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple of comments and then right to our callers. My book, Has God Spoken?, is memorably forged. And at the end of every section, there is a little memory aid called Memorable Snapshots, in which I give you just the gist so you can remember the information and use the information. For example, with archaeology, I use the archaeologist's spade, because the spade of the archaeologist demonstrates time and time again that, in direct contrast to pagan mythology, from Mormonism to Mithras, the people, places, and particulars found in sacred scripture have their roots in history and evidence. As such, what was concealed in the soil corresponds to what is revealed in the scriptures. And in demonstrating that, the Merneptah and Dan steels come immediately to mind, as do, for that matter, the Moabite and Pilate stones. The Merneptah steel presents as formidable a challenge to Exodus deniers as the Dan steel does to those who still pontificate that the biblical account of King David is no more factual than tales of King Arthur. As Time magazine rightly observed, the skeptics' claim that King David never existed is now hard to defend. And in light of the Moabite stone, it is also difficult to contend that biblical kings such as Omri and Mesha, and places such as Nebo and Moab, are the stuff of myth. Likewise, the Pilate stone demonstrates in spades that Pilate was the Roman authority in Judea at the time that Christ was crucified. Again, spade becomes an acronym. That's just the first letter, but each one of the letters provides a memorable acronym by which you can communicate that what was once concealed in soil is consistent with what is revealed in Scripture. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up is Lamont, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Lamont.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I had a question concerning apologetics. I'm not really clear on what that actually means. And I heard a caller make reference to the fact that he was beginning a apologetics ministry.
Yes.
And if you could clarify what the differences are, or the contrasting ministries.
Yeah.
Pertaining to apologetics and other ministries.
Yeah, thanks so much for that question, because I think oftentimes we fall into the trap of using a word without really defining that word and then assuming that everyone knows the meaning of that word. And that, of course, is a big mistake. So thank you so much for that question. Apologetics is a word that communicates the notion of defending the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. The word apologetics is derived from Greek, apologia, and it means a reasoned defense. So it involves providing an answer, not an apology, but an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And I would say something further. Apologetics is pre-evangelism, which is to say, apologetics is a handmaiden to evangelism. We use our logical answers to questions, not as an end in themselves, but as a means to communicating the gospel. It's a springboard. It's an opportunity to share the grace and goodness of God with someone who has not yet heard. And then apologetics is also post-evangelism. And what I mean by that is, in the swirling waves of doubt, sometimes even despair, that often threaten or submerge our faith, it's crucial to be familiar with the pillars or posts on which our faith is founded. And that's why I often say the great apologetic issues are that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ demonstrated that he is God through the immutable fact of his resurrection, and that the Bible is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. So, in a nutshell, that's what apologetics is all about.
Okay. So is that not what any true ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ really is about?
Yeah, that's a perfect way of saying it, Lamont, because what we are called to do in Scripture is always be prepared to give an answer or an apologia or a apologetic to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, and then to do it with gentleness and with respect. And just as you have said, that becomes our command, and through that we can reach people with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess what comes to my mind is the apostles' teaching, and when I think it was in Jude that we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered, that's where everything springboards from, that very point in ministry. And now, in our day and time, now we're hearing so many different types of ministries. And
yeah.
I guess that kind of can get confusing and throw a little few of us off, you know, is what is meant by some of these different types of ministries.
You're firing on all cylinders, and what you're stating there is very helpful. And let me just cash that out. As a Christian, there are three things that we need to be involved in. First is worship. So when we become Christians, we're born into a body of which Christ is the head. And corporately, as believers or as the body of Christ, we are to worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the gospel. Then, as Paul depicts in Romans chapter 12, we're to have oneness with one another through our common confession, through contribution, through community in which we take the sacraments like baptism and communion. We express the oneness that we have as members of the body. And that oneness then becomes a testimony to the world. The world looks on and says, see how they love one another, and the love of Christ constrains them to come. And then finally, the third thing that we're just talking about is the fact that we are commanded in the Bible to go out and reach the world. And therefore, the Holy Spirit moves through us in the process of communicating, as you just correctly put it, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Again, Lamont, thank you so much for that call. It gives us an opportunity to do some clarification that sometimes we just take for granted. Let's go back to our phone callers, Janice, listening in Iowa. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Hank. I want to know what your opinion is of this. I've been reading a book by Lou White, and he says that the true name of God is Yahweh or Yahuwah or Elohim, and I'm just wondering, why is it that we address him as the Lord your God, where he referenced that Lord and God were terms that referred to Baal, and also that the name Yahshua means Yah is our salvation. And Jesus is actually a Greek term and cannot be transferred back into Hebrew.
Well, it's just nonsense. And unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that some aberrant messianic ministries do. In fact, in general, what they do is they overemphasize Old Testament types and shadows to the detriment of the substance that comes and fulfills the Old Testament type and shadow. And so he's still hung up on keeping the Sabbath and the commandments, where in biblical Christianity, we have our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the substance that fulfills the symbol. So it's not a means of doing away with the commandment, it's a means of enhancing the commandment and recognizing the fulfillment of the commandment. And the problem with this messianic Judaism that has gone amok, and certainly there are Orthodox messianic Jews, so don't get me wrong on this point, but when it goes amok is when you end up forgetting that Jesus comes, and when he does, he supplants Jerusalem. And it is not the Jerusalem that is below, but the Jerusalem that is above, that is free, that is our mother, as Paul puts in Galatians chapter 4. That the Lord is the land, and so when the Lord comes, the focus is no longer on the land, the focus is on the Lord, who is the fulfillment of all the types and shadows, and certainly of the land, and that the master teacher replaces the majestic temple. And so when Jesus Christ comes, there's no reason to look forward to another temple. No. We celebrate not the slaughter of animals, but rather we remember his broken body and shed blood for the complete remission of all sins. So again, these are differences that are very significant. And I've mentioned this before, but the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament is emphatic. If you do not recognize the substance has come and you continue with temple, priest, and sacrifice, then what you are doing is trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. I've written about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. A generous response from ministry partners like you in these final hours will help the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast to end the year on a solid footing. Please partner with us at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org to give your tax-deductible gift today. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
www.bibleanswer.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Laura, listening right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to know, how trustworthy are going by the notes in like a study Bible?
Yeah.
I know that they're not inspired scripture, but, you know, are they pretty safe to go by?
Well, I think it's really helpful to use insights that you find in commentaries and the like, but here's the deal. You're absolutely correct in saying they're not inspired, and therefore you have to take them with a grain of salt, which is to say you've got to test them and then hold fast to that which is good. Because the writers who make the comments in the commentaries have their own predilections, and sometimes they're correct and sometimes they're not. But overall, commentaries can be greatly helpful because we have to recognize as Christians that we're pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants, which is to say we're learning from others who have gone before us and we can learn a lot from them. We all have limited time, and therefore, you know, in one lifetime, we don't always have an opportunity to become an expert on every book in the Bible. That's quite a chore. So you might find some very credible man who's spent his life studying the book of Romans. Well, we can learn a lot from someone like that. So I think commentaries can be very helpful, but you have to have that discernment factor that you mentioned at the very opening of your question. That is that they're not infallible, and therefore you want to make sure you test them.
Okay. I appreciate that, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Roxana. She's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Roxana.
Hello. I have something, like, it's totally disturbing me. It's about my kids.
Yeah.
I was on YouTube just playing around one night and saw the groups that they like, and they're all displaying Illuminati symbols and all that, and I'm wondering about the Illuminati, and the more I started looking into it, the videos they have goat heads, and, I mean, it's just completely laced with the Illuminati.
Yeah, a couple of things that I would say about that. One thing that I think would be very helpful to you is to get my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. Because what that book does is it really helps inoculate you. If you put on the full armor of God, or what I call the covering, that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So the greatest thing you can do for your kids is really give them the inoculation. Teach them what the full armor of God is and how to apply it in their lives. Secondly, I think it's very important to recognize that one of the pieces of the full armor is the belt of truth. And unfortunately, truth is that which corresponds to reality. The Illuminati does not correspond to reality. This is not to say that Satan is not real or that evil is not real, but this notion that there is a satanic ruling council or Illuminati is a conspiracy theory that doesn't have basis in reality. So this notion that there is a carefully crafted cartel that encompasses policemen and politicians, even pastors, secretly engaged in subterfuge to advance their satanic agenda, and that this agenda has now moved Satanism into the very halls of power as well as sanctuaries of religion, simply is not true. And I actually point this out and give the evidence for it in my book, The Covering. It's a small book. It's easy to read, but it's an absolute must for Christians to put on the full armor of God, to know precisely what it means to put on the full armor of God, so that we can always be ready to give an answer, so that we can always be fortified in spiritual warfare, so that we never fall, but we can always stand. And one of the things that Paul points out is that the power of the Lord to protect is far greater than the power of Satan to pillage. And so, again, if we put on the full armor of God, we're invincible. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeff next in Alto, Texas. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I want to apologize up front. I really enjoy listening to your program, but I'm not always consistent and able to listen consistently. And you may have already covered this. I think you interviewed the author of the book, and I don't even remember the title of the book, but basically where it was discussing old earth beliefs. And I think you've even had some follow-up calls after that, but I never really got a clear answer as to where you stand as far as young earth or old earth, or what exactly do you believe as far as the age of the earth?
Yeah, here's the main point that I make with respect to the age of the earth. My major contention is that the Bible does not give us a chronology of creation. It does give us a hierarchy of creation, which culminates in the crowning jewel of God's creation, which is humankind, but it never gives us a chronology of creation. So if you want to know about the age of the earth, you have to look at the book of nature. And what I mean by that is the Bible makes very clear that the invisible characteristics of God, or the invisible qualities of God, his divine nature, his eternal power, can be seen through what he has made, and therefore, as Paul points out, men are without excuse. So we can look at the universe that he has made. For example, we can look at star life. And there doesn't have to be a lot of conjecture here, because we can see stars in infancy, we can see stars in midlife, we can see stars when they're white dwarf stars, and through observing the universe, we can come up with an idea of the age of the universe. And this is true whether we are talking about star life or the speed of light, or even sequential layers and ice cores in Antarctica or Greenland. So there are a lot of ways in which we can come up with a chronology, but I don't think the Bible really gives us a chronology. It gives us general parameters that we can go by, but it doesn't give us a chronology. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Bill. He's listening on KCIV, Modesto, California. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. I had a question in Acts 16, verse 25. And the question would be, singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And I'm in a quandary personally, because the church I attend started singing modern contemporary songs, which, you know, well and good, but I get no worship from those songs. And I was wondering, you know, with that verse there in Ephesians 5:19, you know, they're singing in the Spirit, and I just, myself personally, you know, with electric guitars and drums banging, am I behind the times, or am I not being current, or what, you know, is it me? That's my question.
Yeah, well, good question, and a couple of things I would say in this regard. The Apostle Paul urges us to sing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in Ephesians chapter 5. Singing psalms is a magnificent means for intercession and instruction and even the internalization of Scripture. But in addition, the great hymns of the faith have stood the test of time, and they're rich in theological tradition and truth. And then there are such things as spiritual songs, which in turn communicate the freshness of our faith. So it's crucial that we preserve both a respect for our spiritual heritage and a regard for contemporary compositions. But to your point, I think that oftentimes there's excessive repetition in current songs. And oftentimes the people who write these songs are not theologically trained. They don't really read their Bibles carefully. And so the lyrics oftentimes are not biblical, they're anti-biblical. And so we should be aware of this, and we should have the kind of discernment and the kind of questions that you're asking. Despite the benefits of worship choruses today, they tend to reflect the values of our popular culture, and we shouldn't buy into them without question. Instant gratification, intellectual impatience, ahistorical immediacy, incessant novelty seem to rule the day. And so you're right to ask that question. and your right to use, as I said, your discernment skills in these kinds of circumstances.
Well, Hank, I appreciate your answer.
I appreciate your question, and let me make just a couple of follow-up comments as we close out the program today. I've written about this in a book called Counterfeit Revival. People look for God in all the wrong places, and oftentimes the problem is that they're not exercising discernment skills. And this ministry ultimately is that. It's a discernment ministry. We're equipping people to be able to discern the difference between wheat and chaff, heat and light. And when you can discern, then you're in the best circumstance. Because remember, Satan doesn't come to us in his naked deformity. If he did, we'd never buy into his lies. He comes as an angel of enlightenment. It sounds so good. It feels so good. So we often bite the apple. But with discernment skills, we can not only help ourselves, but we can help others. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, you help strengthen many who need guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong and prepared to bring you even more life-changing resources in the new year. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.